You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. Over the course of the pandemic, the restaurant industry is estimated to have lost roughly $148 billion in revenue. That's according to the National Restaurant Association. And many states and cities have been slow to allow restaurants to open back up for indoor dining because of the potential health risks. But the past 2 weeks have seen some notable developments on that front in different parts of the country. That includes New York City.
This is the first day when you'll start to have indoor dining again. Now, let's be clear. This is something that was worked on very carefully by the state and the city, and will start at a low level, 25% capacity.
Chicago.
Indoor capacity will expand from current 25% to 40%.
And most dramatically, in Florida.
We are today moving into what we initially called phase three. And what that'll mean for the restaurants is that there will not be limitations from the state of Florida.
The return to indoor dining may feel like a financial necessity for many restaurant workers and owners, but the public safety concerns remain. A CDC study from mid-September found that adults who tested positive for COVID-19 were about twice as likely to have dined at a restaurant than those who tested negative. The study did not, I should note, say whether those respondents were more likely to have dined indoors. Here with me to discuss all of this is Khushbu Shah, Food & Wine magazine's restaurant editor. Thanks for being here, Khushbu.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Carlos Frias, food editor for the Miami Herald. Hi there, Carlos.
Hey, Matt.
So we were just talking about Florida, Carlos. So as we noted, Florida Governor DeSantis is now allowing restaurants and bars to operate at full capacity. How was this announcement received, Carlos?
Pretty much with a lot of shock from restaurant owners. The announcement came down and was signed after 4 p.m. on a Friday. A couple hours before the Miami Heat were to play in a playoff game. And 3 hours later, the owner of a Miami-based restaurant chain walked into one of his 24 restaurants and saw people standing shoulder to shoulder. And in his words, said it was scary.
Wow. Was this related to the Heat playing the Lakers, that the governor wanted to make sure that bars were able to take advantage of people coming in to watch the games?
I don't know. This was when they were playing the Celtics, and I actually the restaurants, a couple guys, including a manager who spoke to me off the record, said, you know, we're getting this news 3 hours before this huge game where people are potentially going to want to go out, and all of a sudden we have these new rules. I was going to say there was a stretch of about 30 hours from when Miami-Dade said that it had some ideas about adjusting those rules. They had to ask the state of Florida to have less than 100% capacity. So in those 30 hours, restaurants weren't sure what to do, and there was confusion throughout South Florida.
Are there any safety protocols that the governor is implementing as he moves the restaurants to full capacity?
I mean, he says that safety measures remain in place, whatever those were before, but he also said that he was stopping municipalities from fining for not wearing masks. So in all sense, he's saying that any mask rules have no teeth anymore, although Miami-Dade County has said that they do intend, and Broward County, too, said that they do intend on still writing tickets and, you know, whenever the emergency order is sending those fines out. But it seems like such a it's taken the teeth out of that what was once a law.
Yeah. Khushbu, this is very different from New York. How is indoor dining being rolled out in New York City?
There's a few more rules, thankfully. I think it's still a pretty dangerous prospect, but, you know, 25% capacity, at least 6 feet between tables, no seats at the bar, you know, restaurants need to close at midnight, HVAC systems and air purifiers need to be upgraded, and they're doing temperature checks and recording contact info, actually, for diners so that the city's contact tracers can get in touch with people if they need to.
What are you hearing from restaurant workers in New York about starting back up? Are they happy to be back at work and working more hours? Are they freaked out about the safety situation?
I think most of them are more freaked out than anything else. You know, ultimately, a lot of the diners are have the incredible sense of entitlement is actually the reports I'm hearing the most, that, you know, they get really angry when you ask them to wear masks, when they get up to go to the bathroom, you know, use anything like that. They're not tipping very well. I mean, obviously tipping is a very questionable and terrible system, in my opinion, but it is the current system, and people are tipping less than ever. When they should be tipping, you know, 30% at least for people taking, you know, risks with their lives to serve you this like margarita. People are upset at wait times. They're writing like terrible Yelp reviews. I've heard complaints from servers where, you know, customers have threatened to call the cops before on the restaurant. They're, you know, laughing in their face, like when they're asked to do anything, you know, hearing things like, oh, we can't wait for you guys to like shut down in like 6 months because of these rules. So it's not great out there. Yeah.
So I've been out to eat a couple of times, but I've only sat outside. Are you, Kushbu, are you personally comfortable returning to indoor dining? Are you going to go eat inside?
Not at all. Like 100% no, which is, it's crazy. You know, my job very much depends on restaurants. It's centered on restaurants. And I'm not comfortable whatsoever. I just don't think I can, you know, consciously risk someone else's life. If I'm willing to risk my own, which I'm also not, I don't know why people are pretending this pandemic is over. It's far from, you know, you're still seeing the number of cases rise, even in New York City, which has taken a lot of precautions. And the cases are continuing, you know, again, to surge right now. So
what about you, Carlos? Are you comfortable going to eat inside in Miami right now?
I haven't dined inside of a restaurant in 6 months, and I don't have plans to do it at any time soon.
You've been eating outside, and how's that going?
I've been eating outside and doing mostly takeout. Mostly I've been ordering from a lot of different places, trying to stay on top of what different restaurants are doing, what they're pivoting to try to stay relevant, to stay in business. But, you know, I think they don't want to put people at risk, and I don't want to put myself at risk.
And do you agree with Kushbu that we need to be tipping more? Do you have a recommendation on how much we should be tipping servers?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Kushbu's right. The tipping is the worst system that we have for paying people. I think if you're not tipping 25% on anything, especially now, I think you're doing a disservice to the people who are putting themselves in danger for you.
So Kushbu and Carlos, we've also been talking to our listeners about this, and some of them, like this one, told us they weren't ready to go back.
This is Diana Cruz from Edwardsville, Illinois, and I don't think I will be having any indoor dining soon. I just don't feel comfortable that even with enough social distancing that I can be protected. And so I definitely will not be participating in that for quite some time.
And meanwhile, we also reached out to folks who run restaurants to see how they're feeling about it. I want to play you a few of those calls.
My name is Greg Keenan. I'm calling from Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. And I'm a restaurant owner. I'm 68 years old, so I guess you'd call me part of the risk group. But I haven't felt that way. From the get-go, I wore a mask. And from the get-go, everyone who works here wears a mask all the time they work here. And we've put plexiglass up between booths and tables. We obviously practice social distancing. And we're very clear with guests that when they get up from that table, they have to have a mask on when they have to have a mask on to get to the table. So we think we've minimized risk.
My name is Susanna Cotine. I am the owner of Lido Restaurant on Frederick Douglass Boulevard and the corner of 117th Street in Harlem, Manhattan. I'm thrilled to be able to welcome our guests back to the restaurant. Of course, I do understand that this has to be a gradual process to keep the staff and the guests safe. But in New York, we've just been allowed 25% capacity, as well as to take over some space in the parking lanes. So during a very difficult time with COVID, we had to invest in structures to allow our guests to sit outside. And then the city is also allowing us to keep these structures throughout the winter, which means that we'll have to invest more to enclose and heat them.
My name is Mark Jamison. I have two restaurants, one in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, one in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania. Both are old stone colonial hotels. We're petrified. We talk about improving ventilation systems. We don't even have ventilation systems. We heat with radiators. We're going to get locked in the next week or two. although Pennsylvania has been very safe, thanks to Governor Wolf, and our area is not a hot spot anymore, all it takes is one person to come in, and we're all just sitting ducks in there. Truly, we're scared to death.
Kushboo, let's talk about the money. How much is the gradual shift back to indoor dining helping these restaurants financially?
You know, I understand that restaurants, you know, are really desperate right now. They're in such dire straits, but I'm not sure that indoor dining is necessarily going to pay off, you know, is going to ultimately help their bottom line more. A lot of the upgrades that they're required to do, or the upgrades that, you know, they should be doing to help their customers feel more safe, are expensive. You know, that restaurant owner just mentioned putting up plexiglass. I've heard reports of different restaurant owners paying upwards of $3,000 to $5,000 just to put up plexiglass in their restaurants. Air purifiers cost a lot of money. You know, they have to provide masks and other PPE type equipment to their servers and to their other staff members. Like, these things add up, especially when the money isn't coming in as it used to. And I'm not sure at 25% capacity, especially in New York City, where a lot of restaurants are, you know, teeny tiny, and like 25% capacity maybe means six diners at once, you know, max, is really going to help their bottom line ultimately.
Yeah, that's why some restaurants are implementing time limits where you have to leave at a certain time, which sort of takes away a lot of the enjoyment of going out to eat. Carlos, Miami is such a great restaurant town. How big of a hit have restaurants there taken? Have there been a lot of closures?
Yeah, it's hard to put a number on how many closures we've seen, because some places did close kind of with the hope of reopening at some point in the future. I think, you know, the summers in Miami are slow to begin with. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple months. Because honestly, outdoor dining doesn't get really nice here until right around now, right then in about the next 2 weeks. So yeah. The places and Miami, I will say, has done a really good job at making it easy for places to make room for dining. In other words, turning parking spaces into seating areas. Closing off parts of streets, Miami Beach did, to allow places for people to sit. And so we'll see. We'll see if this really is a solution for them, because, like I said, most folks want to sit outside in the next couple months. And so this might play into giving them a little bit of a lifeline.
Yeah. In terms of a lifeline, Kushboo, do you think there's any kind of support that the federal government could be offering to restaurants right now?
I mean, I think that's honestly the only thing that's going to ultimately bail out the restaurant industry is help at a government level. There is a bill that's going through the House again that does call for help for small businesses, especially the restaurant industry. And, you know, people are really hopeful that this will pass. I think it's the first time that restaurants have actually banded together to form a lobbying group besides the National Restaurant Association. And the National Restaurant Association tends to represent a lot of chain restaurants. So this is the first time you're seeing more independent restaurants, you know, band together to have a lobbying voice in the government. So they're hopeful, you know, that this might pass. I'm not so sure it will.
Sure. Yeah, like anything in Washington, it's a question mark. Kushboo, are there innovations in the meantime that restaurants are implementing that in order to help them during this time, but that might stick around long term?
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of cool, like, cocktail to go programs. You know, I hope that cities keep adjusting their liquor laws to, you know, allow for this. I think it's a way that restaurants are actually able to make a lot of money on takeout and delivery, is to be able to still have that alcohol upcharge with the takeout options. Restaurants are serving cool meal kits that people can take home and still have, you know, the restaurant experience. They're pairing them with videos of, like, the chef making the dish. So there's kind of like an interactive experience. People are doing really cool. You're seeing a lot of innovations too, of, like, people selling food through Instagram, like former actual restaurant workers. So a lot of former pastry chefs, just former line cooks, like, selling restaurant quality food through Instagram. Wow. Thanks to cottage laws. So you can get, like, really high-end pastries from, like, the former pastry chef at Gramercy Tavern, you know, on Sundays in Queens. Like, they do a pastry box, you know, for, I think it's $50. And it's, like, a whole assortment of pastries that are seriously high-end. And it's cool to see, you know, these types of businesses pop up.
Sure. Yeah. And that could stick around long past this pandemic. Carlos, we got about a minute left. I'm just curious how your job as a food editor for the Miami Herald, how some of the reporters who cover restaurants, how their job has just totally changed during this pandemic.
Well, I think it's changed the focus away from food criticism, which I'm happy about. I like to write about stories that are very Miami centric. In other words, stories that could only happen here. So you have stories like Kushbu was saying about, you know, a guy who was the head chef at one of our top restaurants down here, Q, who started, it's like an Asian barbecue place, who started his own little barbecue spot out in front of his house, you know, and taking orders through Instagram. We have a guy who had a successful seafood restaurant, but he said nobody wants to order limp seafood delivered in 30 to 45 minutes. So he turned it into a classic Italian-American red sauce place, more comfort food, things that can reheat well. So I think we're seeing the most creativity out of restaurant owners and food people, and that's really been the most interesting, encouraging part, and the most interesting thing to document.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that is getting me quite hungry. I appreciate it, guys. Kushbu Shah is Food and Wine Magazine's restaurant editor, and Carlos Frias is the food editor for the Miami Herald. Thank you to you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me, Matt.